people. Hello and bienvenidos to Blockchain Insider. I'm Mauricio Magaldi, Global Strategy Director for Crypto at 11FS, and this is episode 189. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Kai Sheffield, head of crypto at Visa. Welcome to the show, Kai. Great to have you today.
Great to be here. These are some of my favorite shows. We get to go around the world, hear from amazing people, spotlight on certain markets. And so we got a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. So we're going to continue drilling down on regions we think deserve more of a spotlight. In a previous episode, we focused on Nigeria and spoke to two amazing guests, Buchi Okoro of Quidax and Nescoin's Maya Cattle. And we spoke about the current state of crypto there in the country of Nigeria. This time around, we're shining a spotlight onto Argentina. Join us while we explore how the past couple of years have shaped this country's crypto sector, what exciting new projects and initiatives are coming out of Argentina, the challenges they face, and as always, what we hope to see in the near future. To do that, we're joined by some amazing guests. So we welcome Eduardo Novillo Estrada, CEO and co-founder of AgroToken. Eduardo, welcome to the show. How are you doing today? It's super, super cool to have you with us today.
Hi, Mauricio and Koi. Thank you very much for having us here. Really happy to talk to you and heard about very good things about this program. So very honored to be here.
We're excited to have you, Eduardo. And we're also joined by Marcelo Cavazzoli, also known as Cello, founder and CEO of Lemon Cash. Cello, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, Mauricio, Kai, and Eduardo. How are you guys today? Thanks for inviting me to the show. Super excited to be talking about crypto in Argentina and in Latin America.
Awesome. So before we dive in, just as a reminder to our listeners, the views or opinions of our panel are their own and don't necessarily reflect those of the companies that they're representing. And as always, nothing we say should be taken as tax, financial, or legal advice. So go doing your own research. Let's get started. So we're going to kick this off at the very beginning where we can paint a full picture and talk about where we are right now and how we got here. So at a regional scale, and I'm going to start with you, Eduardo, what is your perspective on the current state of crypto landscape at the moment across Latin America? How has the adoption taken shape? What is, you know, the blockchain impact across LATAM and obviously specifically to Argentina in the past few years?
Okay, I think first of all that blockchain and crypto they make a lot more sense now in the moment that we are in undeveloped countries, no? So in undeveloped economies, I heard that your last interview was in Nigeria and Africa, you know, and these countries like Latin America too, where you have a lot of problems with currencies, with banks, with regulations, you know, intervene. So it makes a lot more sense in this aspect and gives more freedom to people, no? They bring what we are DeFi, no? That's what we are, and DeFi brings more alternative to the people that live here in this part of the world. I think it's been developing very, very fast in our countries. That is, it will continue to grow very, very fast, and that will set like a standard and an example for the rest of the world. I think personally, I think Brazil will be at the top of that list for sure, because of not only the adoption but the regulation. They have the most at the moment friendly regulation, I think, in the world, with a central bank super proactive for everything that is crypto, tokenized, and blockchain. We are in the moment, we were born in Argentina, but I am at the moment living in Brazil too. So we are developing all our major efforts into Brazil. But like I said before, I think LATAM is going to set an example for the rest of the world. And I think if with the example of Brazil, the rest of the countries in LATAM should take the example of Brazil, and that will help a lot. And it's just for me, it's just unbelievable all the opportunities that blockchain and crypto can give to the people in this part of the world. And now talking more about what we do in AgroToken, that is tokenizing commodities, we believe that is a way that people will come to crypto, come to blockchain easier, because we tokenize real assets, okay? So we tokenize wheat, corn, soybeans, a piece of land, you know, cattle, energy. So these are things that they know, that they understand. It's not like, you know, like Ethereum or Bitcoin or things that they are really, that I love, but they are not so easy to understand for the rest of the people. If what we are doing is we are putting the layer of technology that is used in blockchain and crypto to real assets. And I think I would love to say that we will have that opportunity to give a taxi driver, you know, to be saving in something that he hasn't had the chance until this technology was created.
Yeah, great perspective, Eduardo. Cello, what's your angle to this? Because as AgroToken, I know Lemon started off in Argentina, is expanding across the other countries. What is it with Argentinian entrepreneurs that they are always expanding? I mean, I don't know any Argentinian founder that hasn't had, you know, their eyes in growing, you know, in the region and internationally. What about that?
Yeah, so it's something super interesting because Eduardo, as he points out, he has more kind of like this B2B utility case for crypto. And it's amazing, all of the tokenization. I believe it's going to be huge for the region. However, we on the other side, we get to interact a lot with retail. We are the largest crypto company in Argentina and the third largest in all the whole LATAM. So I think that we as Argentinian founders, we kind of like are in advance. So everything that is going on in Argentina gets reflected some years later in Latin America. For example, when I see Brazil or when I see Colombia in terms of crypto, it reminds me of how Argentina looked like, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago. So I think it's kind of like an advantage that we have, that we can build a product in a market that has a need right now, and that product is going to be used in the next 5 years in the entire region.
Got it. Now, there are differences, right? The same way we look, you know, we spoke about Nigeria, and you know, every country in Africa has their own challenges, needs, limitations, opportunities. It's the same thing in Latin America. So I just wanted to kind of poke your brains a little bit in terms of the use cases that you see that are more prominent for blockchain crypto in Argentina specifically. In your opinion, Eduardo, what are the top three use cases you see as like very much Argentinian in this space?
Okay, I think the most important is to saving, you know, keeping the value of your income. At the moment is the most important because, you know, the peso is losing a lot of value every day, and we have an inflation, and always is the risk of devaluation, and we have, you know, but seriously, we have like more than 20 kinds of dollars here. So that is for sure is the first one for Argentina, no? We are talking about Argentina. Then for transactions and cost, for sure, that is another one. Yeah, I would say those two are the most important here in Argentina. I'm sure Cello will go more for the retail and for the B2B. What we do in specifically in AgroToken with crypto is that the grain already behaves like a stablecoin. Okay, here in Argentina, in Latin America. So if you want to pay with grain, it's something that they do. It's called barter, okay, or canje in Argentina. So it's like going back to the Middle Age, you know, when you exchange your bag of grain for two chicken, for example. So what we are doing is we are doing that frictionless for a fraction of the cost and doing it faster and simpler. So that specifically in our, in the ag tech industry, we are going to have a real big impact on that too.
Could you just unpack, you mentioned there are 20 kinds of dollars in Argentina. Like, what's the relationship between consumers and citizens with dollars in the market? What are examples of kinds of dollars and some of the historical context around how people look at dollars there?
But here, Chelo will help me a lot with this, but we are dollarized, but not officially. Okay, so people, when they earn money, they run and go and buy dollars on the black market. Okay, not an official. So we have more than 100% difference between the official rate and the unofficial rate. Imagine that. Okay, so if I want to go to the bank and buy dollars in the bank, I buy, I don't know, let's say for 200 pesos at the moment. But if I go in the street, I get paid 400 pesos. So imagine that. Then we have dollar soybeans, dollar for exporter, dollar for tourism, dollar for credit card, dollar link. I promise you, we have like dollar for anything that you want to do. You have a different kind of dollar. So at the end, people here, we have more than 100% inflation in the last 2 years. So the only thing that keeps you your savings and the value of purchase is the dollar. But Chelo, please help me with that you are into retail more than me.
Oh, absolutely. I think that crypto in Argentina has many use cases. One of them, of course, is hedging against the devaluation and inflation. Just to give you a little bit of context, $1 in 2017 was equal to 17 pesos. And $1 today is equal to 490 pesos. So that means a 96% drop. And those are almost like altcoins or Luna levels. And the thing is, the difference is that in this altcoin, let's say, you are forced to use it. And it's super sad because it's the life saving of many people, millions of people in Argentina gets disappear in just a matter of 5 years. So crypto on one side, it kind of like it's this safe haven, a way for people to save and store value. But there's other use cases that because of this situation that we are right now, it gives a lot of early adoption because people need it. And that early adoption enabled a lot of other cool things. For example, in Lemon, we have, want to onboard people into crypto and also into Web3. So we created that your profile in Lemon is actually an NFT. And super curious, but more than 1% of the entire country has an NFT in Lemon. So you have a country with 1% of the people that have an NFT and that have a Web3 account. So that's super cool because that economical, let's say, situation that we have right now gives us the advantage of getting early into new products. And there's a lot of other use cases that are spawning. Of course, tokenization is super interesting. But I believe Argentina has this kind of like first player advantage. And that's why there's a lot of crypto companies and amazing founders coming out of here. And I believe that as Argentinians, we should use this opportunity because it's something that we didn't plan for, but we have it. And it's just to give you just one last number. In Argentina, 94% of the population, at least on some surveys, already heard about Bitcoin. I know what Bitcoin is. When you look at how many people use crypto, we have more than 5 million people in the country that have crypto. So that's around 20-25% of the active population. So from the active, economically active population, you have 1/4 of the people that already have crypto. And around like 12% of the total population have crypto. So it's a super techy and crypto adopter society, and it's super. It's a very super important advantage.
And then when you talk about crypto and the use case of crypto as this hedge against pesos, what specifically does that look like? Is that stable coins? Is that USDC or USDT? Is it Bitcoin? Like, what has a stronger, you know, perception from the retail customer base? Are they just looking for a new form factor of a dollar, which is just one of the many types of dollars they can access? Or are they looking for something else altogether, in Bitcoin being digital gold that's not a fiat currency that they would rather have than pesos?
You know, that's super interesting. When we started Lemon, we had, of course, the theory that people will only use stable coins, right? You might think, yeah, people are just going to hedge against inflation and devaluation. They're going to have stable coins. However, we got surprised. And this is super different from other regions. I talk as well to African founders. And here people, like, to give you context, in Lemon, the most, let's say, used token is, of course, if you sum up all of the stable coins, you got stable coins in number one. But in second place, we have Bitcoin, then we have Ethereum, and then we have pesos. So, but it's super interesting because people use a lot of Bitcoin. Because if you, let's say, just look at one stable coin, not all together, we have more Bitcoin in our custody than we do on stablecoins. So I believe that stablecoins kind of like are the first step, but I think that Argentinians, especially, they want to be part of the future. They understand that the dollar is going to have the same result maybe in more years ahead. So they are jumping straight to the future. They're jumping straight to Bitcoin.
Got it. Now, it's not always a walk in the park, right? There are challenges, and obviously some challenges the economy push people to crypto. But even in crypto, there are challenges for fostering adoption. So what would you say, Eduardo, are the, you know, the number one, two, three challenges for crypto adoption in Argentina? Is it regulation? Is it the existing financial system? Is it what are the factors that prevent crypto from being, you know, it is a big 25% is a big chunk of the economy. How do you get to further 25, or, you know, how do you foster that adoption?
Well, it's a very good question. I think one of the biggest challenges is trust, no? And that is all around the world, is trust on the system and trust on what we are doing. And that is number one for me. That will come with regulation, yes, if it is regulated in the right way. Yes, for sure. And the other thing is the user experience, no? The user experience is not easy for normal people to register on an exchange, you know, to have the passwords, to, you know, that's why I think Lemon is so cool for that, you know, and that's why for us was very important, the partnership with Visa. Okay, we think the user experience of Web2 is adopted. Everything is very easy now, and for people to understand that they have their money or crypto in a credential that they know how it works and they can pay everywhere in the world, that makes a lot of sense and helps people to start trying the new technology, you know. So for me, you know, there've been episodes like, you know, the FTX and the Luna and all these things at last year that they were not very helpful for the whole ecosystem, and we need to reinforce the trust on the system and show the people that we are all not the same, no.
How do you think about the regulatory environment in relation to Brazil? And it's been amazing to partner as a part of the Brazil Lift Challenge. And, you know, we've just seen how innovative the central bank has been in wanting to explore the benefits of tokenization and inviting the private sector in to demonstrate it. You know, where does Argentina's, you know, central bank and government regulatory position compare to Brazil Do you see them kind of following Brazil and wanting to do similar things? Do they approach it from a different manner? What does that look like?
Yeah, like you said, we partner with the Leaf Challenge. I think Brazil is, like I said at the beginning, Brazil for me personally is the number one in the world at the moment with all that is blockchain, tokenization, crypto. You know, they are regulating it. They are regulating in a good way. They are creating the tools for bringing the private sector and the retail and the people, you know, educating the people about the tokenization economy. So for me, it's number one. Argentina is not the same at the moment. We have a very, I think, how you say, nationalistic government at the moment, and it's not very proactive to do all the things that is more into new things and creating new access to people, because we are very restricted to people to get the dollars and other currencies. But I see a near future with a lot of possibilities. I see a new government coming now at the end of the year that is more looking at Brazil and what Brazil is doing and more in contact with that. So that will be great for the country. And I think is the way that is going to, one of the great motors, the great engines that is going to help Argentina to get out faster of the recession and all the problems that we have is going to be crypto for sure and blockchain. So I foresee a great future for Argentina at the beginning of next year.
And then what about, Cello, like as you think about retail consumers versus businesses, you know, is there a distinction of are small businesses using crypto as a part of the day-to-day? You know, do you serve small businesses on your platform? Are you seeing any large enterprises look to accept crypto as a payment method, you know, because of some of the demand and interest? What does the business environment, you know, look like in terms of their interest?
Yeah, you know what? That was another theory that we had before. In Lemon, we started with merchants, actually. Before retail, we went to a city called San Martin de los Andes, and we onboarded 340 merchants. It was crazy. We went to this city, and you could pay everything with crypto. We made that simple so that the merchant could receive local currency, they could swap it. However, what we figured out is that crypto right now didn't work so much for merchants, especially for small businesses, for one reason. They don't have cash. Like, they don't have a positive cash. They, for example, money in is money that goes out. Actually, their cash flow is mostly negative. So what I mean is they are constantly in debt. Let's say you go and pay for a sandwich. That money that you use is going to be used to pay employees, suppliers, providers. So crypto didn't quite meet a use case for small businesses because they don't have a currency. They pay as they go. So I think that is going to take a little bit longer than we thought. However, there are some other use cases, especially when people sell different things that are in dollars. For example, if you sell computers or if you sell electronics that are mostly valued in dollars, then changing the price every day might be not the best solution. For example, my previous iPhone, I purchased it using crypto. And the merchant, you know, is like, why are you using crypto? Like, somebody taught you? No, he just needed that because it was useful. So I think that for payments, it's still a way to go. However, what we are seeing is that a lot of companies are very interested in, you know, those companies do have a treasury, do have cash, and they don't want that cash to be devaluated. So a lot of companies are interested in how can they have company treasury in crypto. And yeah, we're helping them in a way that it's easy as well for them. So yeah, I would say it's not as exciting as retail, but it's more exciting than other places in the world, of course.
Interesting. So like high value items, like luxury goods, because of inflation, you know, those make sense to accept stable coins or Bitcoin for. And then holding it on the corporate balance sheet is, you know, in the treasury, you know, to be able to hedge against inflation. And so you think the problem that needs to be solved is how can a merchant pay their suppliers or pay their employees once they have crypto? And so you need to have more infrastructure for other types of B2B payments for them to be interested in accepting it for broader use cases.
Yeah, I think that's super hard to happen. But yeah, if that happens, that the entire chain could be on crypto. However, I think that there are some more short-term options. For example, let's say one part of the chain can use crypto and that gets converted. For example, in Lemon, we have this card, which is the Lemon card. And you can use your crypto to pay in any store. And the store doesn't need to understand about crypto. They receive local currency. So imagine the same concept, but applied to another part of the chain. So let's say a merchant or a provider needs to pay something and they use crypto instead of pesos. So I think it's going to be more kind of like converting these in-between layers of the chain rather than just replacing the entire chain, because that's kind of like a much bigger effort and it's going to take a longer time.
So let's see how that's going to evolve. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Visa, one of the world's leaders in digital payments. Crypto has opened up a new world of possibilities, and Visa's helping everyone take part. Consumers can now enjoy the freedom and flexibility of using their Visa crypto link cards for everyday purchases at millions of Visa-accepting merchant locations around the world. Join us in this new money movement. Learn more at visa.com/crypto.
Welcome back. In the first two parts, we covered the big picture, new and exciting projects and their challenges. So now it's time to turn towards the future, what we think and hope it may bring to this space. So in terms of opportunities, you know, going forward and maybe some of the challenges, I mean, what is ahead of the Argentinians as far as crypto adoption goes? What is that you expect that will unlock crypto adoption further in Argentina? Let's start with the B2B on your end, Eduardo, and then we can hear from Cello about, you know, the retail use cases.
Okay, in the B2B is like a little bit like I said before, but I want to, you know, reinforce it is what we identified was that the grain was already working as a stablecoin, you know, here in the agribusiness, no, in Latin America. So now is the adoption. We are going to our business model. We are going through the merchants, okay, through the suppliers of seeds, fertilizers, you know, tractors, all these guys. That is a tool that they can use to do barter, like I said before, no, to get brain. But what we are doing is we are giving to do barter is very complicated. It's very complicated. Like, let's say a company like Bayer, they need like 30 people in a department of barter. So imagine that there are a lot of companies and a lot of people that they cannot do that all around the country. So we are giving the opportunity to everyone to receive barter or to be, they can keep the token and to be hedged against the inflation or devaluation. So we see the future that we are, for us is more like the present where what we foresee in this part of the world is we are very rich in natural resources. Okay. Obviously in Argentina, and we see a big part of these natural resources being tokenized. So the big companies are going to tokenize their whole operation and will bring a big economy of bartering, and will those tokens and those tokenization will be part of they can be used as guarantee for loans too. So not only, like I said, we are B2B to F. We call it B2B to farmer, no? Instead of it's like a B2B to C. That is the way we like to call it. But now, you know, a farmer can use his Visa card to pay the coffee in the morning with grain. And that will be, you know, a massive adoption is happening now. But we see that. We see that what we are doing, and in Argentina, obviously, more people will be bartering with their production, and all because of crypto.
It's a super cool use case. And the other thing, when you mention lending, that makes me think about is, it feels like DeFi protocols and, you know, a number of blockchain applications have demonstrated how collateralized lending can work really well. You know, you don't need, you know, to create a big financial institution. It's kind of a set of smart contracts that you can deposit assets into and then be able to borrow against it. Eduardo, when you talk about lending, one of the things that comes to mind is that it seems like DeFi protocols and applications have shown that you can have really efficient collateralized lending products, where you can deposit an asset into a smart contract and borrow another asset against it. The challenge is that the only assets available today are volatile cryptocurrencies, you know, like Ether and other tokens. And so if you could take real world assets, you know, like grain, and be able to utilize them inside the existing infrastructure that's being built out on blockchains, that starts to look like a really interesting lending product if you can get a loan against grain that happens through smart contracts in a super easy, accessible way. And so are you starting to see that happen today, or how do you see lending markets developing over time?
You just said exactly what is happening. That's why, you know, and we always put the example, our benchmark is Centrifuge, that is, you know, a DeFi platform. So for us, that is our benchmark, and we are trying to connect the CeFi and the DeFi, okay? We like to call ourselves HiFi, that is hybrid finances, okay? So to connect the DeFi and CeFi, who will be the most that will get with a better price here, the most advantage is the farmer. The farmer will only have, now we have a huge amount of people that can be able to finance him. Okay, now he has to go to the suppliers or to the banks. But imagine if he can go to the DeFi world, or the four of us here, we get together and we say, okay, let's give this farmer, you know, $10,000, and he will pay it for, and he leaves his production as a collateral. There's no way that we are not going to get that money, you know? So it's exactly the same. And we are using the same reasonable, the same method that is used in DeFi, to bring it to CeFi using a digital asset. You know, what we are doing is transforming that unmobilized asset that is grain into a digital asset, financial asset, sorry. So that is exactly what we are doing, Kui. Great that you understand it so quickly.
And to for that to happen, the technology is there, the functions are there, the assets are there, but there is a space that needs to be there to enable that by the letter of the law, right? Not every existing legislative framework will apply to the novelty that crypto brings to the table. So, Marcelo, if you were to ask anything for the new government that Eduardo mentioned that's coming in next year, so what is the top one crypto priority that you think this new government needs to take care of? And then I'll go for, the same for you, Eduardo, in sequence.
You know, to be honest, what we need the most is let the industry grow. We don't even need support. We are growing so fast and we are attracting so much capital that we don't even need, you know, any benefits. Of course, that would be amazing. But the truth is, we just need, you know, clarity and, you know, an affirmation that we can build businesses that add value to the entire world without being scared of our entire business shutting down the next day. So I think that means clarity on what is okay, what is not, and let the industry grow. I think there are basically two approaches that governments can take. Especially in Argentina, I believe crypto is unstoppable. You cannot, there's no way to stop it. Already with 25% of the active population on crypto, you know, millions of especially the young people, all connected in the internet, there's no way of stopping it. So I think there's two ways the government can take this. One, they can try to stop it, which is kind of the US approach right now. So regulations that basically cut fiat integrations, that stop banks, and kind of like what happens is the talent goes away, the user ends up using a foreign platform, and basically you get out of that space, or you can embrace it, like for example El Salvador, in which Bitcoin is a legal currency, and it's actually doing a tax improvement for any entrepreneurs developing in the space. And that's attracting a lot of talent, a lot of companies, and probably going to get them a bigger advantage compared to the other countries. So I believe that Argentina, if we do things right and we let this industry grow by itself, no help needed, just clarity. I think that can push us much, much higher, especially because we already have that advantage. We are already, you know, that number one Web3 adoption country. So we just need to keep growing and keep building and adding value to the world. So the only thing I would ask is clarity and a way for us to know that we can build a business from Argentina and that we don't have to move away from the country.
Eduardo, same thing for you. Just getting out of the way, that will be enough.
Yeah, that would be enough. I think Chelo said it very well. Getting out of the way, and certainly it would be great to have some regulation, you know, that I think will help everyone. So like Chelo says, the one that we are more established will have an advantage because we are already growing very fast, and we have the advantage to be the first ones. But it would be great that, you know, to have the minimum regulation possible and for the government to let us grow, you know, and go to do things, you know, more proactively for what we do, because at the end it's good for the economy of the country and of the people. No,
got it. Yeah, we've been around the regulation discussion in the show a few times, and it is the neo geopolitical battleground. We're seeing that on the G7, we're seeing that on the G20, and I think as we learned from you today and from the Nigeria episode, the large scale adoption will come from the global south because that's where we're solving real world problems. Now, that wraps up today's discussion. Oh, my God. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us today. Where can people find more about you and your companies, Eduardo?
Our website is agrotoken.io, so they can find us there. And whatever the questions are, we are very happy. We would love to have the opportunity. We are talking with Chelo a lot about giving access to all the Lemon community to buy, you know, our tokens. We are not listed yet because of the regulatory thing that we were just talking, but we have everything organized with Chelo, and we would love, you know, like this, you know, the early adopters, the young adopters to get involved in what we are doing, because I think it could be very beneficial for them for their economy and to help the farmers, no? To help the farmers to have a better financial tool and to be partners with the new generations. So that is what I would ask for, and people to get involved with AgroToken and to help us to grow the community, because what we are doing is for the small farmers and for the environment. So we can help the environment too.
Love it.
Cello, how about you and Lemon?
Yeah, you guys can follow us, of course, on our social media. We're Lemon App. And if you are in Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, Uruguay, Peru, and Ecuador, you can download Lemon. You can have an account. You can mint your own NFT if you don't have. This could be your first one. And yeah, for us, our mission statement is launching civilization into the future of the internet. We believe that we are in an inflection point. What's coming is probably the best decade in the history of the internet. And what we want to do to contribute is to help onboard people to amazing things that will happen, just like Agro Token empowering farmers. There's gonna be hundreds or even thousands of use cases, and people are gonna need a way to access them to onboard. So we are happy to help the way we can, and happy to do this with our community, with all of the Lemon community that can join and can be part of this amazing project and part of launching people to the future of the internet.
Love it. If life throws you lemons, just build a new
internet.
That's
a good phrase.
I like that. How about you, Kai?
That's great. I'm on Twitter at Kai Sheffield and visa.com/crypto. Amazing episode. Awesome to learn more about these markets and just how much real-world adoption is happening in different places across the world. So thank you both for coming on.
As for me, you can find me at 0xMauricio on Twitter, Mauricio Magaldi on LinkedIn, and of course, 11fs.com. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, follow our podcast so you never miss an episode. We have lots of exciting shows coming up, and we can't wait to share them with you. If you can't wait until the next episode, take a look at the many, many previous episodes we have on our catalog and get yourself properly immersed in the world of crypto. And if you really love it, please leave us a review. It helps us make it better and helps other people find the show. As always, if you want to join the conversation, find us on social media. Just search for 11FS or Blockchain Insider, or email us at podcasts@11fs.com. This is all for today. Stay rare, stay weird. LFG.